This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Just once everyone settles and the donation forms are filled, etc., we'll move on to the next part of our evening, inshallah. So just bear with us for a couple of minutes whilst we get ourselves ready for that. Okay, is everyone ready for the next speaker? Come on. Very warm takbir. I will say takbir and Allahu Akbar. And we're going to bring out our speaker who's come all the way from the United States of America. Takbir! Sheikh Omar, was that good enough for you? Yeah, alhamdulillah. Sheikh Omar Suleiman.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. MashaAllah, I could get used to getting introduced by a guy named Omar Suleiman. That's not some narcissistic choice, but he happens to be a better version of Omar Suleiman, walhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. It's wonderful to see you all, mashaAllah, once again. Inshallah ta'ala, dear brothers and sisters, I wanted to begin tonight actually picking up from a theme which I started to speak about last night. And what I'm looking to do, inshallah, is connect some of the verses from the very beginning of the Qur'an with the very end of the Qur'an that speak to us about our journey in life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins with the story of Adam alayhi salam. It is fitting that it is the first story that we find in the entire Qur'an where Allah tells us about how our father was hasty. And as a result of the hastiness, that mistake that was made, he lost out on al-Jannah, the ultimate destination. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him, and now we, as the children of Adam alayhi salam, do not inherit his sin or his burden, but we are a continuation of that journey. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the first people in the Qur'an, the first group of people in the Qur'an. And it's only fitting that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts with the very first human being to connect us to our essence, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a collective starts with the immediate ummah, the immediate nation that comes before us to connect us to proximity. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala often will give us a picture of a person and then a picture of a people together. So for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to us about Fir'aun. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then talk to us about وَثَمُودَ الَّذِينَ جَابُوا السَّخْرَ بِالْوَادِ. Allah azza wa jalla will talk to us about the people of Thamud. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says بَعْدَ عُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ
يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ اذْكُرُوا نِعْمَتِيَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ.
O children of Israel, remember the blessing that I have bestowed upon you. Think of all the favors and the blessings that I have bestowed upon you.
وَأَوْفُوا بِعَهْدِي أُوفِ بِعَهْدِكُمْ.
And if you fulfill your covenant to me, then I will fulfill my covenant to you.
وَإِيَّايَ فَارْهَبُونَ.
And fear me alone.
وَآمِنُوا بِمَا أَنزَلْتُ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا مَعَكُمْ وَلَا تَكُونُوا أَوَّلَ كَافِرٍ بِهِ وَلَا تَشْتَرُوا بِآيَاتِي ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا وَإِيَّايَ فَاتَّقُونَ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, and believe in that which I have sent to you and sent previous to you, to the prophets that came before. And do not be amongst those who rush to disbelieve in me. And be conscious of me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to tell us this story of advices that He gives to Bani Israel.
Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions, as a result of that contract, that covenant that you hold with Him, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ, and seek aid in this journey of yours with patience and prayer. وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. And verily, it is heavy except for those who have humility. الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهُمْ وَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Those who are certain of their return to their Lord, and those who are certain that their ultimate destination and destiny is back to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ. They know that one day they will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And subhanAllah, there is a beautiful connection here with these verses and with the verses where Allah azza wa jalla speaks to Adam alayhi salam and about Adam alayhi salam and the continuation of that journey. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks to us about Bani Israel, Allah mentions to us that He has bestowed blessings upon them and blessings upon them and blessings upon them. And like Adam alayhi salam, Allah bestowed blessings upon him and blessings upon him and blessings upon him. But Adam alayhi salam made a mistake for a moment and did not see all of the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon him, and instead chose to hasten towards a tree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to avoid. But then you have a people that are ignoring the blessings upon them, the blessings upon them, the blessings upon them, and continuously hasten towards the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so while Adam alayhi salam returns to Allah's favor, Bani Israel continues to distance themselves from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with every single test that comes towards them. Now I want us to speak about destination Jannah, but now specifically talk about desires. The idea of controlling our desires. What gets in the way of us getting to Jannah? And sometimes it's easier to frame the discussion of shahwa, the discussion of desires, and how desires get in the way of destination Jannah, by looking at as-sabr, by looking at patience in the face of trial. Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to say, we were tested with hardship and we were patient, but we were tested with ease and we were not able to be patient. We were tested with tribulations and we were able to show sabr. We were able to show patience, but we were then tested with ease and blessings and we were not able to show patience. As if to say that sometimes when you're getting hit with something, it's easier to not have an appetite for this world. It's easier to turn that despondence and despair into a connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than it is when the world has opened its doors to you, and to still restrict yourself. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about patience and this idea of being struck by something of hardship, some of the trials that come our way as we are headed towards Jannah, and they are gifts in disguise because they allow us to focus once again and recalibrate on Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to us those who, when they are struck with hardship, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, give them the glad tidings. الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ, those who, when they are struck by a trial, قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, they say to Allah we belong and to Allah we return. They say to Allah we belong and to Allah we return. To show us that in that instant of a difficulty, there is an opportunity. And a person who has been struck by a great trial and a great hardship, if they've been preparing themselves for a sadma, for that moment of shock, then all that they have preparing themselves with will present itself in a beautiful opportunity that cannot be found in any other place. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "As-sabr 'inda as-sadmatil ula," that patience is at the first strike. You don't just suddenly garner up patience when a massive tribulation comes to you. You prepare yourself for a massive sadma, for a massive moment of trial, and naturally, what you have been nurturing inside of you materializes in a beautiful inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And the ultimate sadma, the ultimate shock and strike that you're preparing for is death. Because even if you proceed through this life with relative ease, all of us will have that sadma, that moment of death. And the words that you want to have ready for that moment of death, for that ultimate sadma, is La ilaha illallah. If you can say La ilaha illallah at your last moments, and subhanAllah, if you've been around dying people, you will see how difficult it is to have someone say La ilaha illallah at that last moment. But if you can garner up an entire life of trying to live by kalimat al-tawheed, trying to live by that word of La ilaha illallah, and then it materializes in a word of La ilaha illallah in that final moment of your life, you enter into Jannah. It's not because you suddenly remember at the time of death to say La ilaha illallah, it's because you've been preparing yourself your entire life with La ilaha illallah, and then the sadma of death comes to you, the shock of death comes to you, and La ilaha illallah. It's heavier than 1,000 pounds at that moment. But its weight and its reward is eternity in Jannah. Because you prepared yourself for that sadma, for that shock. For every other sadma in life, for every other shock in life, you prepare yourself for that moment of opportunity to say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. To Allah we belong, and to Allah we return. And when you are able to do that, whether it is small or big, you have a beautiful reward that is given to you, a beautiful reward that is unlocked for you. And the Quran is very visual. The way of the Prophet ﷺ is very visual, that you unlock something that is far more beautiful. And that opportunity only exists in the very beginning of patience. That's not to say that there isn't patience after 2 days or 3 days or after 6 months or a year. But that is to say that as-sadmatul ula, that first strike, presents a very particular opportunity and a very particular reward. So for example, one of the most difficult trials a person can face, which is to lose a child. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comfort all of the parents in here and beyond who have struggled with that difficulty, who have been tested with the difficulty of losing a child. Those who are able to, in that moment, still turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that great difficulty and say, Alhamdulillah, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. What do we learn? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the angels, once again, because we're always in the conversation. The one who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at night, focused on the destination of Jannah, tatajafa junubhum anil madaji', yad'una rabbahum khawfan wa tama'a, fighting with their sides, exerting themselves for that reward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala boasts to the angels about them. And now, when you're struck by a great difficulty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the angels, have you taken the coolness of my son's eyes, my servant's eyes? Have you taken the coolness of my servant's eyes? Have you taken what gave that person sweetness in life? And the angels say, yes. مَاذَا قَالَ عَبْدِي. What did my servant say? Alhamdulillah, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Still, all praise is due to Allah. And to Allah we belong and to Allah we return. In that moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unlocks a beautiful reward. Go construct that person a home in paradise. Right now, call it Baytul Hamd, the house of praise. There is a moment there. There is a moment when Ibadur Rahman, the servants of the Most Merciful, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst them, where they face something that annoys them, something that bothers them, something that gets in their way, but they still maintain patience. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ يُجْزَوْنَ الْغُرْفَةَ بِمَا صَبَرُوا. And those people have these high, lofty rooms in paradise by what? By their patience. There's a moment where patience strikes. It's in the heat of the argument. It's when you're getting in the middle of an argument. The hypocrite has no sense of the hereafter. إِذَا خَاصَمَ فَجَرَ. It gets into an argument, just goes all out. I'm going to say the most hateful things possible, the most hurtful things possible, because I want to inflict as much pain as possible right now in this argument. I want to win the argument. The believer thinks to themselves, I could have a house in paradise right now. لِمَنْ تَرَكَ الْمِرَاءَ وَإِنْ كَانَ مُحِقًّا. The one who leaves off an argument even when they are right. So I don't want to win the argument. I'd actually rather win a house in paradise. So I'm going to let you win this argument because I want to win something in paradise. But it's at that moment. It's only in the beginning of the trial that you have such a beautiful opportunity that is present for you. As-sadmatul ula, as-sadmatul ula, as-sadmatul ula. It hits you, it hits you, it hits you. And you know, subhanAllah, when you get struck with a trial or tribulation, the first level of patience is simply not to say something that's going to compromise your reward in the situation or cause you to lose out or maybe even be condemnable. And so you hold yourself. As-sabr is to hold yourself. You know? So the Prophet ﷺ said to us, for example, if I was to ask you, what do you say when you get angry? What do you say when you get angry? What are you supposed to say when you get angry? A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. The greatest reward is when you can seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the accursed devil. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa idha khatabahum al-jahilun qalu salama, salamu alaykum, say good words. But the Prophet ﷺ said an authentic hadith in Muslim Imam Ahmad, إِذَا غَضِبَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَسْكُتْ. If one of you gets mad, just be quiet. If you can't say anything good, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرٍ أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ. You can't say anything good, then stay silent. The bare minimum is silence. But then there is another level. Al-ihtisab, accounting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is as-sabr li raja' al-thawab, is to be patient and to seek a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the strike comes to me, when the hardship comes to me, I'm going to say good things. I'm going to channel that pain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the very tangible reward in paradise that has been promised to me, that is unlike any other reward. That's when it comes to patience. Hold yourself at the bare minimum when the trial hits. And if you can, seek Allah's pleasure through that trial, then do so. But don't cause yourself to fall into hellfire, which would only compound your trial, by doing something condemnable in the midst of great pain. That's the bare minimum. But if you want to do even more, look for that ghurfa, look for that high chamber in paradise, look for that home in paradise where you praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the midst of great difficulty. Take advantage of a sadmatul ula, of the first strike. Prepare yourself your entire life for the strike, because the ultimate strike will definitely come to you. Now when it comes to shahwa, when it comes to our desires, subhanAllah, what you find is that sabr with our desires, patience with our desires, is a very specific type of patience. And it's often a sabr عند أول الشهوة. That's not a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, but it's comparable in the sense that patience with your desires is when the desire first grows, when you first have the impulse, when you first have the inclination to do something. You know, when you think about it, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he used to wake up for prayer, and I'm not going to take a poll here how you get up for Fajr, but some of you know how you get up for Fajr. Some of you know how it's not tatajafa junubuhum an al-madaji', you're not fighting your bed, you're fighting your phone, you're fighting your alarm clock, and you're just going right back to sleep. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was described as wathaba. He jumped up sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because you know, you and I both know, that when that alarm goes off, the shahwa of sleep is so sweet. Sweet to me right now too, by the way. So nice to sleep. Some of you are like, I'm enjoying the sleep so much right now. When people come up to me and say, you know, I listen to you at night when I want to go to sleep, I'm like, so you're saying I put you to sleep, right? So it's kind of insulting, but I'll take it as a compliment, right? But you know that when the alarm first goes off, you have a choice to make, the shahwa of sleep or the call to prayer. Overcome the desire to go back to sleep or the call to prayer. Now, if you don't get up at that moment right away, there is a good chance you're going to miss Fajr. If you don't fight that initial inclination, there's a good chance you're going to miss Fajr. So the Prophet ﷺ, what was he described as? He was like a lion, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. SubhanAllah, the hypocrites are, وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَى. When they get up for prayer, they're so lazy, dragging their feet. Ugh, do I really have to do this again? Is it already Dhuhr? Is it already Asr? Is it already Maghrib? Really? Already? Again? Rasulullah ﷺ hurried to the prayer. He was ready. He was activated towards the prayer. So he overcame the desire to sleep. He overcame the desire to eat. He overcame the desire to relax after a hard day of work. He overcame that because the salah was called. I've got to go to prayer now. He jumped towards the salah. Most of us are on a spectrum between qamu kusala and wathaba. Getting up like the hypocrites or getting up like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Where are you on that spectrum? Now, the initial strike, the initial moment of your desire is the most important moment. عند أول الشهوة. What do I mean by that as well? You know, even if you think about physical things, okay? How many times do you say, I'm just going to have a small bite? And that small bite becomes what? You eat the whole meal and the plate too. What happened to the small bite? Because once you took that first bite, it was over. That was it. You want to go to the gym. All right, I got 10 minutes. If I don't go to the gym right now and work out, then there's no way I'm going to work out. You're right. Once you said, maybe a little bit later, you're not getting up to work out. There's no exercise happening today. But then to make it a little bit more towards that which is sinful in terms of our desire, in the beginning of the sin, you know, you have the angels that are prompting you to not commit that sin. You have the shayateen that are prompting you to commit that sin. If you allow yourself to start, likely, in order to enjoy the shahwa, to enjoy the desire, to enjoy the pleasure of that sin, you're going to try to shut off any voice that tells you about consequence because you want to enjoy it right now. So shut it off. That's why there's a powerful hadith where the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, إِذَا ذُكِرْتُمْ بِاللَّهِ فَانْتَهُ. When you're reminded of Allah, stop right there. Stop. You have to learn to control the initial impulse. And in one narration, and even if there is a weakness in the chain, الْعَجَلَةُ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ. Haste is from the devil. وَتَأَنِّي. Being very calculated about what you're doing is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The beginning of the shahwa, the beginning of the desire. You get into an argument. The desire, my desire is I want to punch you in the face. Not you, by the way. I don't want to punch you in the face. But like my desire is I'm ready to jump. I'm ready to fight. If I'm able to just be quiet and say, I'm not going to engage, let me cool down and not engage, I likely have won that bout with the shaitan. But if I immediately, or if I start, I likely am not going to finish. Throw the first word, throw the first punch. It's a fight at that point. You fail to resist the shahwa to respond, the desire to respond at that moment. So controlling yourself at the first moment of desire is like controlling yourself at the first moment of hardship. If you're able to conquer yourself in that moment, then you are likely able to conquer the course as well. How do we even do that? And subhanAllah, we live in a world where our instant gratification is catered to us. You have apps and social media that study you and know your nafs better than you know your nafs. SubhanAllah, they literally enslave you to an algorithm and feed you your cravings. And they know what your soul craves sometimes even more than you know what your soul craves. Feed them the next one, the next one. I know what type of drama you like. I know what type of images you like to look at. I know what type of comments you like to read. I'm studying you. Feed them, feed them, feed them, feed them, feed them. And when we become impulsive creatures, we're not even thinking anymore, right? Just go to the next one, go to the next one, go to the next one, go to the next one. And it's dangerous. Wallahi, it's very dangerous. And you think about the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ when he gives a visual reward that إِنَّ مِنْ وَرَائِكُمْ أَيَّامِ الصَّبْرِ. That behind you, or what comes after you, O Sahaba, are days of great patience. And to be patient in those days is like holding on to a burning hot coal. You know when you wake up and you feel agitated until you open your phone? You know, subhanAllah, they call it digital heroin for a reason. Like, you feel agitated. Let me get my phone. What did I miss out on? I've been sitting for a whole hour and I haven't checked my phone. 2 hours. What happened? What messages? What did I miss? What do I need to read? What do I need to catch up on? That impulse is not a healthy impulse. We've got to conquer that. Or else we become led. We don't lead. And subhanAllah, at that point, the one who is led by desire needs no devil to lead them. When you become a slave to your desires, you don't even need the shaitan to decorate anything for you anymore, because every shahwa that presents itself, you jump to it and you go and you feed and you feed and you feed and you feed. How do I conquer myself in that initial moment with destination Jannah in mind? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ وَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, seek help in this journey with patience and prayer. As-sabr here refers to the practice of fasting. And the Prophet ﷺ particularly mentioned the practice of fasting as a means by which you curb the appetite of the nafs. You discipline your desires. You learn to tell yourself, I can't drink water right now because iftar is still not for another few hours. I can't eat this right now because iftar is not yet for another few hours. I can't look at this right now because I might compromise my fast. And so, you have delayed gratification. Delayed gratification. وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. Delayed gratification. I know that there is a reward that awaits me if I hold back. حَبْسُ النَّفْسِ. If I conquer myself. No matter how hungry I get, no matter how thirsty I get, I empower myself to conquer itself. Do you know how powerful that is? Do you know how good that is for your soul in everything in life when you encounter and engage the practices that allow you to conquer yourself? في الشهوة عند أول الشهوة. At the beginning of the desire, and you say, no, not now. واستعينوا بالصبر والصلاة. Seek help with patience and prayer. وإنها لكبيرة إلا على الخاشعين. Look, this is a very difficult thing, except for humble hearts, except for people that have some connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because ultimately, if your why isn't strong enough, why am I holding myself back isn't strong enough, then you're going to fall. وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, seek help in this journey of yours with the practice of patience, which is fasting and prayer. وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ وَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Those who are certain that one day they will meet their Lord, and those who are certain that they will return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now I recognize that it might be difficult to make a connection, but as we're looking at the coherence of the Qur'an in this series of lectures, I want you to see something very powerful. Now, go all the way to Juz'amma. This is the beginning of the Qur'an. Go now to Juz'amma, Surah An-Nazi'at. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. As for the one who is certain and who fears the moment that they are in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. And because they are certain and now they are in awe of that moment in which they'll be standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. And they have forbidden themselves from pursuing empty desires. فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Paradise is their ultimate abode. Paradise is where they can now breathe, release, delayed gratification. If you were able to conquer the nafs, conquer that first shahwa, that first impulse, you have eternal access to what you are seeking. Now, dear brothers and sisters, as my time is coming close to an end, subhanAllah, there are layers to this. Once again, when you have that initial impulse, the first thing that should motivate you is the fear of compounding your trial, the fear of being led down to something that is going to hurt you, the fear of punishment. And then be motivated by the ultimate pleasure of paradise and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guarantees you instead. Look how merciful Allah is, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps telling you about the rewards of Jannah over and over again. Remember your destination, remember your covenant, remember فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ, those who follow my guidance. Remember all of those verses that tell you about the specific rewards when you hold yourself back from specific desires or from a specific reaction when you're hit with tribulation. Remember all of that. But then there's, subhanAllah, one more thing here, which is the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, dear brothers and sisters, you can't really conquer that initial moment when yourself seems to be dominating you unless you become specifically and especially aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is watching you and to whom you will one day return. Look at the beautiful coherence of the Quran. In the beginning of Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ وَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Now, subhanAllah, when you're struck by tribulation, the greatest way to cope with that tribulation is to remember the temporary nature of this life. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Ar-ruju' ila Allah ta'ala. That to Allah we are returning. And so, innama yuwaffa as-sabiruna ajrahum bighayri hisab. Allah is going to repay the patience without any form of limits, without any account. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward me. So, I'm going to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the pain that I am feeling right now, I know there is jaza, there is a permanent reward that exists after this pain, that this life is temporary. And so the pain in this life is temporary, and that the hereafter is forever. So the reward in the hereafter is forever as well. So reminding yourself, ar-ruju' ila Allah. But when it comes to your desires, there is a specific connotation. الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ. In Surah Al-Baqarah, those who are certain that one day they will stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. Those who fear that moment, they're in awe of that moment that they will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you can immediately, and that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا ذُكِّرْتُمْ بِاللَّهِ فَانْتَهُ. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ذَكَرُوا اللَّهِ. Try to have things around you, forms of dhikr. Try to put yourself immediately with the first taste of the sweetness of sin, the first pull of shahwa. Try to transport yourself to that moment that you're standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know what they say is a rule in disciplining your desires and disciplining your sense of instant gratification? Give up what you want now for what you want more. Give up what you want now for what you want more. You have to be able to tell yourself why exactly you are withholding from this desire, because you don't want it to cost you your destination. Give up what you want now for what you want more. And subhanAllah, look at the verses of those people that receive their books in their right hand after enduring the insults of this world, after enduring the tribulations of this world, after dealing with the desires to respond to people in like manner, after dealing with the desires to feed the cravings of the self, after overcoming all of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ. As for the one who is given his book in his right hand. فَيَقُولُ هَا أُمُقْرَأُ كِتَابِيَهِ. He says, everyone look, read my book. Inni dhanantu anni mulaqin hisabiyah. I knew that this day was coming. I knew it all along. You know, subhanAllah, khafa maqama rabbihi, inni dhanantu anni mulaqin hisabiyah. الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ. This constant connection of those who withheld because they knew of that day that they'd stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then the celebration of those people on the Day of Judgment. When you and I, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, when you and I receive our books in our right hands, Allahumma ameen. When all of us receive our books in our right hands, Allahumma ameen. You know, in this life, you don't like to show off. Riya is a form of hidden shirk, to show off, ostentation, attention seeking. When you get your book in your right hand, in this life, people like to boast with their accomplishments, to celebrate, to show off. In this life, when you do good deeds, you try to hide them. Why? Because you don't want the sweetness of those good deeds to be tasted, the shahwa of those good deeds to be tasted in this life. You want the shahwa all for the hereafter. The more that I'm rewarded for my good deeds here, the less I have saved for the hereafter. And so I try to hide my good deeds the way I try to hide my sins, right? Now on the Day of Judgment, when you and I, bi'iznillah, receive our books in our right hands, we're not going to come back to the gathering, hide our books under our jacket and say, you know, brother, how was your hisab? How was your meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Where did you get your book? Oh, you know, alhamdulillah, I got some good deeds in here, you know. Inshallah, I'll be going to Jannah, you know, hope to see you there. Good luck with your meeting. None of that. What are you doing? Everyone read my book. Prayer, fasting, secret charity, all these things that I could have sought the reward for in this dunya, all these things I was hiding for you because I was preparing for the pleasure of seeing those good deeds show up in my meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of it, it's here. No one's going to be humble with their right hand when they get that book there. No one's going to be humble. Everybody's going to be running through the gathering. Hey, I know you. I met you in Leeds. I met you in this place in the UK. Check it out. I'm in Jannah. You know why? Because we store our deeds for our desire of those deeds to be achieved in the hereafter. As-sabr inda sadmat al-ula, patience is at the first strike. Conquering our desires, as-sabr inda awwal ash-shahwa, conquering our desires is when you can conquer them in the very beginning. I apologize, my throat is not well, but it's wonderful to see you all. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us all to control ourselves for His sake and to seek His pleasure solely for the hereafter. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to see us through our hardships and trials and see us through our blessings and ease and to allow it all to manifest in our return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while He is pleased with us. Allahumma ameen. Jazakum Allahu khayra. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Very shortly we're going to have up Mufti Menk, inshallah. But I just want to check one quick thing. Earlier I asked for who was Hufaz here, and amongst the three young children that put their hands up, are they still here? And what I would like, inshallah, is after Mufti Menk's lecture, if the three children can just come to the front of the stage, inshallah, because we'd like to bring them on. For something special for them, inshallah. So now Mufti Menk is literally just walking up. I'm going to invite on Brother Khalil, inshallah, just for a small segment now for you guys. Jazakum Allah khair. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Harrogate, assalamu alaikum. Bradford, what's happening? Just a quick reminder, if you do have a donation form, please do kindly pass it over to one of the volunteers, inshallah. You've got a moment or two to complete your forms, inshallah. If you didn't get the chance to donate, or even if you did get the chance to donate, I've got an amazing opportunity for you where you have the opportunity to actually travel abroad and hand deliver aid yourselves. I'd like to show you a quick video about what people have to say about the REACH program.
The REACH program is designed to give you the opportunity to be a humanitarian for life by traveling abroad and hand-delivering donations to those most in need. You can benefit from our expert fundraising training, our safeguarding training, our media training, our leadership training, and most importantly, the opportunity to hand-deliver aid with your own hands.
And every single deployment has been a series of lessons and a series of perspective.
It's been eye-opening to see the aid happening in real time, and it's given me a whole new perspective on humanitarian work.
Being here has just opened my eyes a lot more. You know, you hear the stories, you see children, even the elderly, and you understand how much more help they need.
Seeing the smile on a child's face, subhanAllah, is amazing. And seeing that smile is something that I'd like to always continue, inshallah.
I hope and pray that we all get an opportunity to help in whatever way we can.
And I hope that I can continue doing this in the future and help people's lives and help change people's lives.
It is a great experience, an experience of a lifetime, an experience that you cannot learn in books, an experience that even somebody relating it to you, you cannot understand it until and unless you come here.
We open our hearts up so much to these people, and they open their hearts to us, and it's a beautiful thing.
We currently have hundreds of people across the world signed up to the REACH program to become the next generation of humanitarians. They have helped us reach tens of thousands of people across Lebanon, Bangladesh, Pakistan, Kenya, and other places. If you want to join the REACH program, visit us at www.humanappeal.org.uk or drop us an email at reach@humanappeal.org.uk. You can reach every human.
Last year, alhamdulillah, we took over 160 people across the world from America, brothers, sisters, Muslims, non-Muslims, across the world to places like Lebanon, Turkey, Kenya, Pakistan, Bangladesh, to hand deliver aid. People like yourselves, anybody who's 18 plus can get involved. You've got a QR code right there. All you have to do is scan it. You will be supported in your fundraising. Take as much time as you need. We will be here to help you reach every human, inshallah. So if you want the opportunity to do the prophetic thing of hand delivering aid with your own hands, hand delivering your donations, the only thing that's standing between you and that is yourself, inshallah. All you have got to do is just sign or email reach@humanappeal.org.uk, inshallah. I've got another amazing opportunity as well that I'd like to discuss with you. Who here has been to Umrah? Show of hands. A few of you. Who here would like to go to Umrah? Everybody should put their hand up. Who here would like to go to Umrah with Mufti Mink? I can't believe that got the highest cheer. Alhamdulillah. We've got a QR code right there. Scan it, zoom in, take a picture, share it with your friends, inshallah. We will be choosing a lucky winner after the tour is over, inshallah, to have the opportunity to go in February with Mufti Menk on Umrah, an experience of a lifetime, inshallah. And if you'd like more information about this or about the REACH program, I will be outside. Jazakum Allah khair for your time. My name is Khalil. Assalamu alaikum.
All right, JazakAllah Harry, everyone, for coming out tonight. It's been a great evening, and hopefully everyone makes their way home safely. Yes? No? You still waiting for someone? Okay, I think we've kept it long enough. So just want to make sure Mufti Menk is most definitely in the building. Wherever he's in the building, we really want him to hear that you guys are waiting for him. So I'm going to say, Takbir! You guys are feeling a little bit drained, subhanAllah. I've got the lights in my face and you guys are the ones sleeping. Okay, Takbir! Okay, alhamdulillah. Mufti Menk is just about to come on stage and actually he's going to be joined. Well, actually someone is going to come just before him. You may have seen him online, TikTok, Instagram. He's known as the Sunnah guy and he's going to be doing a small segment with Mufti Menk, inshallah, and then you will have the pleasure of Mufti Menk speaking to all of you. Those three huffaz that I asked for earlier, don't forget to come down to the front. Jazakum Allah.
You know, if you wake up safe in your house, you're healthy and you have food for the day, it's as if you're given the entire world and everything in it. This is a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, but it's the one hadith that puts life into perspective. Where we worry about bills, rent, expenses, or our future, not knowing that it's a blessing to even just wake up secure. It's a blessing to wake up healthy and with food, because what else really matters? You need a place to stay, you need your health, you need food for the day. Like, wallahi, you've made it. You've made it. You're good. And that perspective will solve most of your mental stress if you're able to truly understand how blessed you are. Wallahi.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brothers and sisters, you know, depression is something very personal for everyone. And everyone goes through depression in their own way. And I just want to share an experience with you guys when I was younger and when I went through my own form of depression. I remember I was struggling so much. I wasn't able to visualize my future. You see nothing in front of you. It all seems dark and gloomy, and it's just nothing that you want to live. You don't want to live in that reality. You don't want to see anything. And subhanAllah, heartbreak can be difficult for a lot of us. And going through the trials and challenges of life, I realized there were some core things that I was missing. And the most important thing out of all of them was the knowledge of my religion. And when I learned about knowing to trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in hardships, that is when my life was truly able to transform many, many years ago. And so I want to invite on a guest who has experience in dealing with a lot of these problems and in being able to help us in answering some of the most critical, crucial questions that we may have. So without further ado, if I can ask the Dean of Iman Academy to come on board, Mufti Meng, please. Mufti, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Mufti, yeah, let's come here. Thank you for coming.
Barakallahu fiik.
I wanted to ask you, a lot of us are going through pain and hardship and struggle in our life. Three quick fire questions. The first one, how do we get over heartbreak?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I think the heart, what we need to understand, belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we connect it to Allah, we will be able to heal it. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبُ. Those who believe, their hearts are comforted and calmed by the remembrance of Allah. For indeed, it is only through the remembrance of Allah that the hearts are comforted. Every other thing on earth is prone to break your heart. But Allah does not break your heart. He heals it, He mends it. So if you have been heartbroken for some reason, it's worldly. In order to heal it, you need to go heavenly. You need to go to Allah. You need to connect with Him, learn about Him, remember Him, read the Quran, engage in salah, and so many other factors, inshallah.
Inshallah, jazakallah khair, Mufti. Amazing, amazing. SubhanAllah, we learned so much from what you have shared with us, and I'm sure so many of us are inspired. Mufti, we have one question. One question that I think really needs to be settled. Heartbreak, we know some of the causes of it. But Mufti, I really want to ask you, can guys and girls be just friends?
That's the answer. Did you hear it? They know that it's not just friends. They know that it goes beyond that. One thing leads to another, a third, a fourth. So Allah Almighty says, you just close the door. If you have to communicate, and we would have to at any given point, it's not like communication with the opposite sex is prohibited, but you need to know your lines and your limits. You need to know what to cross, what not to cross. You need to know not to get into a position where you could be abused in any way, shape, or form. And that's why, as intelligent as we think we are, he is right when he says heartbreaks are caused because we've donated or given our hearts to people who are vampires or jackals. Without us knowing sometimes. And what did they do? They abused it, used it, threw it away, and still said, thank you very much. Astaghfirullah. So therefore, we'd rather close that door, inshallah, and we do whatever we do within the limits that Allah Almighty has set, inshallah.
Jazakallah khair, Mufti. And final question, very, very briefly. We find that a lot of us now live in a digital age, a global village, you could say. Everything is online. Seeking knowledge is important, Mufti, but learning online, number one, is it allowed? And number two, we know that you have a marriage course with Iman Academy. How can they benefit from a platform like Iman Academy as well?
Firstly, it is definitely allowed. It's permissible. It's technology. Technology is a means to be able to achieve things. If you're going to achieve good, alhamdulillah, you will get a good reward. And if you are going to use it for something destructive, it will only harm you. So whatever you do, use your technology in a way that will benefit you. One of the best things is to learn about who you are, where you came from, where you're heading, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who He is, and so on. And that's why we have this platform. It's one of the many platforms available, and this is Iman Academy. Iman Academy, the idea is to bring you learning, to make it easy according to your time. Very, very low cost. And at the same time, you learn the subjects you want at your pace as well. The marriage course that you're talking about, it's there to offer you guidelines, to offer you a service that really would benefit you. It would add value to your marriage. You know what to expect. Many people say, hey, Sheikh, I'm getting married. And 3 weeks later, he says, I got married 3 weeks ago. I mean, what happened there? You didn't know what marriage was all about, did you? You thought it's just going to be a perpetual honeymoon. But subhanAllah, the moon doesn't remain full throughout the month. May Allah grant us ease. You know that. Yeah? But you didn't know, subhanAllah. You needed a reminder. So inshallah, we benefit from these type of platforms by the will of Allah. May Allah accept all of us to make good use of them.
Ameen. Mufti Jazakallah Khair, we're going to have you on again. And I thank you so much for your time. May Allah subhanAllah bless you.
Barakallah Fik. Should I just stand here?
You can do, or I'll just finish off, inshallah.
It's okay. I'll come back just now.
No problem, inshallah. Jazakallah Khair. So brothers and sisters, as you guys have just heard from Mufti Menk, alhamdulillah, so many of you guys may have questions. So many of you guys may have, you know, these things that are sitting in your mind. You're wondering how to answer them. Where are we going to get the answers from? Well, alhamdulillah, we are very, very blessed to present to you today Iman Academy. Iman Academy is an online learning platform where we have compiled 300 hours of recorded lectures that are structured in a way where you can learn your religion in a very structured, formal way. And it does not inconvenience your daily routine or your program. So that's why today we have created a platform and a price point that I want to ask all of you. How much do you think something like this would cost, where we have 7 Islamic sciences and also it's at your own convenience, over 300 hours of recorded lectures? Just some hands up quickly, briefly. How much do you think it would cost? £50. Okay, what else? £60. Okay, what else? £100. Okay, cool. Right? So, what I want to share with you guys is this unique price that Iman Academy will give you. That is for £4.99 only. £4.99 only. Believe me when I say this. This is an opportunity that truly, I believe, we cannot miss out on. So I just want all of you guys just to do one favor for me. And you guys have been an amazing, amazing crowd today. Just pull out your phones, because this opportunity is only for the Light Upon Light tour. So pull out your phone, guys, and scan that QR code there. If you can't scan it straight away, pinch and zoom in a little bit so you can get it. Tap that website and enroll now while you still have the opportunity. And lastly, I said to the team, I said to them, listen, I want you guys, I believe in this product so much, so I want you guys to make it so that it's easy for them if they're not interested. So give them 14 days, and if they wish to cancel, they get a free refund. Sounds like a good deal, right? Alhamdulillah, excellent. So guys, take advantage of your Islamic education. And like I said, Mufti has his marriage course there as well. Many of you guys are single. I've been speaking to some of you guys. We're out there at the front. Come and see us. And if you have any questions about Iman Academy, inshallah, we can help you answer those questions. But please, guys, take this opportunity now. And bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, you don't have to wait any longer for Mufti Mek. Jazakallah khair.
Okay, alhamdulillah. Are the 3 children still here? I can't see the hands up. Let me see the hands up. 1. There was one around here. Okay, good. Alhamdulillah. Before the end of the talk, you need to come down to this over here to my left and your right, inshallah. And without further ado, Dear Mufti Menk.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. MashaAllah. Bismillahi wa alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Although mine is the last lecture for the evening, I see some of the youngsters responding to the salam in such a beautiful, energetic way that it has just energized me, mashallah. So well done, guys. May Allah Almighty bless you all. My brothers, my sisters, many times shaitan makes us become a victim of the squabbles between the scholars. What this means is, you might be listening to someone, you might be benefiting from someone, you might have changed your life because of the effort of someone by the help of Allah. Who is it that guided you? It's Allah. But Allah chooses certain people to guide you, to move you, to make you do things, to help you improve yourself in one way or another, to help you become conscious of Him a little bit more, to help you take the steps in the right direction. And suddenly, whether it's online or just a discussion that you're having with your friends, someone tells you, don't listen to this person. You know what? They're deviant. They're this and they're that. I promise you, it's one of the fitnas we are facing today on earth. We face reality. Many of the young people, they are despondent, not because there is no availability of scholars or guidance, but because they don't know who to follow. They have no idea. When they follow one, he says, don't follow the others. When they follow the other ones, they say, don't follow those. When they follow someone, a little while later, there is a breakaway group, and someone says, but those you were following are wrong, and so on. I tell you, there are millions of scholars across the globe. You will never know each one of them personally. You cannot come out and just say, this one's astray because I don't know him. I have no clue who he is. Even those whom we may claim we know, in actual fact, we probably don't know them. Another thing, every single human being will make mistakes, be it myself or anyone else. They will make mistakes. If you pick up this error, alhamdulillah, you don't follow someone in their mistake. But the same person could teach you a lot of goodness. Imam Malik ibn Anas, when he was known as Imam Dar al-Hijrah, which means the Imam of Medina Munawwara, one of the Imams of the four illustrious schools of thought, he used to say, at the grave of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا وَيُؤْخَذُ مِنْ كَلَامِهِ وَيُرَدُّ إِلَّا صَاحِبَ هَذَا الْقَبْرِ Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He used to say, there is no one on earth whom you take everything from. You take some of what they say and you have to leave some of what they say. Besides the one resting in this grave. Who was he talking about? Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does that mean? That means everyone, they will say certain things that are probably wrong or a mistake. You will have to discount some of what they say because they might have made a mistake. There are some people who make more mistakes than the good that they utter. Ah, you need to be careful. There are some people who say much more good than the few mistakes they may have uttered or made. That is normal. That happens to all of us. Don't get caught in the crossfire between people calling each other names, especially when you know that this world, shaitan, exists and his aim is to turn us away. The reason why I say this, obviously the theme is facing reality. Many young boys and girls come up and say, but you know what, I was told by so-and-so that that person is like this and I shouldn't listen to this one and I shouldn't. Well, then who should you listen to? They would rather be in the clubs and the pubs in some cases. They would rather say, you know what, I'm fed up. I don't want to go to the masjid. I don't want to go to the program. I don't want to do this and do that, subhanAllah, because of so much of conflict. But here is a person being taught and reminded about salah and zakah and hajj and truthfulness and reading the Quran and understanding it and attending lessons and durus and trying to expand knowledge and becoming a better person and improving themselves in character and conduct. What else do you want? I mean, that's a stepping stone. Not every school teacher is an expert in every subject. So you will have scholars sometimes who have specialized in kindergarten, which means they would be teaching preschool. Is that an important stage and phase? The answer is yes. When I started off 24 years ago, or 23 years ago, I started by teaching children alif and ba. I was at the madrasa with little children and teaching them how to pronounce the Arabic letters and teaching them how to read Quran. And I was there for a long time. And subhanAllah, could anyone say this guy's a deviant because you know what? We don't know this and we don't know that. What don't you know? Subhanallah.
And that's how a lot of us have started. And thereafter, perhaps there is a time when you will find some may have the honor of becoming an imam in the masjid. And the others have not had that honor, so they don't have the experience of interacting in that particular way. Some might have traveled to countries and places where the situation is very different. I can tell you something about this country. It is very, very different even from the United States in terms of the way the Muslims are. It is very different even from Australia in terms of the way the Muslims are, and many other ways. The same applies if you were to go to Africa. It's very different. We might be speaking on a level that some people would think, what on earth is going on here? Because they haven't experienced anything that you may have experienced. They don't have an environment as challenging as yours. They're not facing some of what you are facing in terms of challenges. And because of this, they won't understand the way some of the scholars might be speaking in your midst. They may not understand it. The same applies if you were to go to Canada or America or South America or Africa, Arabia, the Middle East, the Gulf countries. Every single nation has its own uniqueness. Every part of the world has its own situation. The scholars of that particular place or those who have frequented, those who understand, they would be able to navigate perhaps in a better way than others. May Allah Almighty grant us ease. I'm not discounting people from afar, but I'm only telling you, do you know what? Don't let people who have not been in the shoes of others make you think that everyone else is actually astray and I'm the only one who knows and I am the only one whom you should listen to. The rest of them are after money. The rest of them are after fame and name and power and whatever else. It's not true. That is shaitan perhaps trying to make you take your deen away from you, or trying to take your deen away from you. Learn to benefit. You never know. You might be moved by something. Your whole life will change. But once your life changes, you might find that the person whom Allah used to initially change your life was actually a grade one, grade two teacher. And now that you've progressed to grade seven, you cannot only remain with that particular person. You respect them for what they did. They are filling a void, perhaps, that may not be fulfilled by others. But now that you've progressed to the next level, as you make dua for them, you might benefit from others who are more specialized. That's what it is. I want to join a tahfidh. I'm not going to find the same scholar who might have made me realize what bad I was doing and quit it. By the help of Allah, I'm going to need someone else who is actually specialized in tahfidh, memorization of the Quran, or some other subject. Not everyone is going to address this matter. So I've known of people who say that one is astray because he does not discuss this particular topic. And that man will say, well, I've left it for you guys to talk about. Well, I'm specializing in something. Understand it. Realize it. Perhaps there is benefit in what I'm doing too. So my brothers and sisters, it's important for us to address this matter. Many times people say, oh, that scholar, and it's someone you look up to, you respect. They will say, this person said this and this and this. How do you know? Well, because I saw a clip. Okay, you saw the clip. Fair enough. Do you listen to this person? No, I don't listen to them and I don't want you to listen to them. You don't listen, you don't want others to listen, and you want to know what they said and what they didn't say. How is that possible? It's not going to happen. If they have clarified something that was not so clear, you don't know because you don't listen and you don't want others to listen. So what has happened to your mind? Subhanallah. You think you're going to suddenly be told by an angel that drops from heaven that, you know what, this person's clarified this and this and this, but you don't even listen to them. Subhanallah. So therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, this deen, this religion, knowledge is extremely important. Yes, you need to know where you're getting it from. You need to know what you are getting from who. But at the same time, what you need to realize is don't allow shaitan to trap you in the process, because I have come across a growing number of young boys and girls who are losing it simply because they're fed up. They're fed up with the mudslinging that's happening among the scholars. That's why I chose to start this way. My brothers, my sisters, thank Allah. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's given us so much. In our midst, there's so much good. Earlier, we were speaking about turning to Allah, praising Him, asking Allah's guidance and at the same time increasing your knowledge, seeking the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look, every one of us has issues and problems. I have matters in my life that are considered hardships, difficulties, challenges. Without the help of Allah, I'm going nowhere. Allah, I need to call out to Him. I need to seek His help and assistance. And whatever energy and capacity He has given me, I need to utilize it in order to try to solve the problem. What this means is, it's not enough for me to say, oh Allah, help me through my problem. Oh Allah, help me through my problem. Oh Allah, help me through my problem. And then I go to bed, done, sleeping. Next day, get up in the morning. As soon as you get up, you may have made Salatul Fajr. And after that, oh Allah, help me through my problem. Oh Allah, help me through my problem. All it needed for you to do was to get off your bed, to get to the door, to open the door, to jump into your motor vehicle, to drive to the place, to buy the item and come home and say, oh Allah, I thank you for giving me such a beautiful thing. That's all it was that was needed. So it's not enough for us to only say that I rely on Allah and that's it. You need to do something. Allah's given you a capacity. You have a problem. You have a difficulty. You want to marry someone. You want to achieve success in something. You want to open a business. You want your business to be known somewhere. You are going to need to open your mouth respectfully. You're going to need to use the energies Allah's blessed you with in order to do something about it, and Allah will grant you achievement. Reminds me of a guy. They say there were guys who were stuck on an island, praying that they were saved by Allah. And the helicopter comes, and the guys refuse to go on the helicopter. Why? They say, because we're waiting for Allah to send us help. But that was Allah who sent you the help. Come on. They discovered you. That's how they came down. Allah will help you using people to get to you, because that's how Allah works. He wants one to assist another and to earn a reward because they did it for the sake of Allah Almighty. Do you know the poor people on earth? If Allah wanted, He did not need you and I to give them charities the way we did earlier. He didn't need that. But He wants us to earn a reward to be able to reach out to those who are struggling across the globe. Yet, if He wanted, He could have said, you know what? I'll do it on my own. That's it. I don't need you. Allah's provided for you. He could provide for them in a similar way, in an even better way, in fact. But He wants to test you. When I've given you, are you going to give away? Are you going to give away? You know, this world is strange. You come with nothing. You fight for something all your life and you leave with nothing. How's that? How is that? You come with nothing and you fight all your life to amass things in this world and then you leave with nothing. Subhanallah. That is this world. That's the reality of the world. Allah is saying, how much you're going to use while you're here, alhamdulillah. The rest of it, try to be charitable, give, reach out to others, build your hereafter. Ramadan is around the corner. The other day I put up a post saying 100 days for Ramadan. How many days for Ramadan now? How many? How many? 82. Subhanallah, I'm not sure myself. But anyway, it's less than 100. I want to tell you, why did we say 100 days for Ramadan? To make you prepare. For what? For this beautiful season that's about to come. MashaAllah, what is it? It's like telling you, and I'm going to give you the example, Black Friday is going to be on that particular date, and you're already talking about it in July. SubhanAllah. August. Which month is Black Friday usually? November, right? Don't pretend like you don't know. Come on, guys. We know the controversies around all of that, but we all make use of those bargains, don't we? MashaAllah. In fact, if you know any, you can message me, inshallah. So, I tell you, we start preparing. I need to buy this and this and this. Guys, look out for this. If you find a beautiful steam iron, and let me know if it's at half price or less, and inshallah, we're going to do this. So, you're alert because you know there is a sale happening, and I'm preparing for it in advance. Wallahi, my brothers and sisters, the biggest sale ever to happen is the month of Ramadan. Biggest sale. Why? You're going to fast during the day. You're going to stand in ibadah during the night. You're going to soften your heart. You're going to reach out to others in charity. You're going to become a better person. You're going to make resolutions. And Allah gives you this opportunity year after year until the day you die. So the excitement has already started, but we just ended Ramadan now. Do you know what Corona did to us? It actually crumpled time a little bit more, because I can't remember what 2020 was like. Do you remember? 2021. Oh, those 2 years passed like that. Do you remember the days when I used to come on live on Instagram and catch some of you guys here and there and talk about this and that and, you know, sometimes get a little bit of an attack and sometimes attack back, subhanallah. Do you remember? Those were the days. But I tell you, it's like it just happened the other day. Wallahi, years have passed. Years have passed. Here is Ramadan. When we were stuck indoors, we were saying, oh Allah, let us see a Ramadan that is going to be what we're accustomed to. Wallahi, that Ramadan came and another one is about to come. Prepare for it from now in a bigger way than you would for the sales of the end of the year. The other day, we were in Leicester. As I was coming, long queues at a place called Foss Park, I think. Right? Long queues. Like long queues. I thought there was a light upon light. They said, no, this is darkness upon darkness. Say, what's going on? Say, the darkness of the clouds and the darkness of all these people standing so miserable, hoping that each one makes it before the other. At light upon light, everyone gets the same bargain. But when you come to those, you stand in the long queues. I'm not saying it's wrong. Like I told you, you know of a big bargain, let me know, inshallah. I'm also part of it. But look at the effort that is being made in order to get something that's going to save you a buck. Do you agree? If I were to tell you tonight that tomorrow the Starbucks is going to be selling their coffee at 1/10 of the price, even if you're not a Starbucks drinker, we might see you there. Do you know why? You're going to say, hey, at least I can try, see what's all this about, you know? I tell you what, they've covered their money already. That's why they're called Starbucks. Yeah? But you would be excited. You want to be a part of this. Wallahi, start preparing for Ramadan by doing what? Right now, say, oh Allah, forgive my shortcomings. I am weak. I'm a human. I've done things that are wrong. I know there is a sin. I'm trying to quit. Oh Allah, help me to quit it. I want to quit it. Strengthen me. Help, keep me away from it. Oh Allah, I need to get this done for your sake. Strengthen me so that I can do it for you, oh Allah. I don't want to do it for someone. I want to do it for you, oh Allah. Strengthen me. Help me. Guide me. Pray every day and be serious about it. Allah will change your life. Allah will change your life. Don't worry about what people think about you. It means nothing. When you're dressed appropriately, they still think bad about you. When you're dressed inappropriately, they still think bad about you. When you're practicing, they still think bad about you. When you're not practicing, they still think bad about you. So don't worry about that. It's Allah Almighty whom we need to be concerned about. When Allah Almighty is pleased with you, the whole world can be displeased. It's okay. Are you a clean person? You have a good relation with your maker. You pray on time. You are good to others. You respect people. You help whoever is in your way. And you even help those who are not in your way. Today, we were told about people suffering across the globe. And mashallah, lots of people donated lots of money. May Allah accept it from you. At the same time, do you realize what just happened? Allah accepted a pound of yours that you earned working in the way you do work somewhere far across the oceans. That pound was actually written for someone in a country like Indonesia where they are struggling, for example, without something they need. So people came to you to tell you about it, and all you did was you swiped a card or you wrote something or you filled a little questionnaire or something online, and the next thing, that sustenance was delivered to whomsoever it was written for in the first place. But where was it earned? You were sweating. Where were you sweating? At your workplace. You might think, no, I'm a smart earner. I sit at home with my laptop, mashallah. I sit at home with my laptop. One of the women was telling me, you know, I just wish I was a laptop. I said, why? Because if my husband treated me the way he treats his laptop, we'd have 10 kids by now. Mashallah. May Allah Almighty grant us goodness. Wallahi, the reason why I say this is because sometimes we give so much importance to our devices that if we gave a tenth of the importance we give our devices to our family members, I think we'd have better homes. You know, if you just watch, and I've told some people to do it, and we've done it. You know, you have on your phones, you can actually record something, time-lapse, okay? You record people on their phones, time-lapse, right? And you'll see how they smile and laugh and stand and sit and this way and that way, and they're laughing and smiling and so on. And then you record them in their homes with their family members. And you know what? It's not that much of smiling. It's not that much of charm. They don't interact. They don't even touch their own spouse. MashaAllah, imagine if you were a phone. SubhanAllah, every day I'm holding you, hugging you, smiling with you. And, you know, SubhanAllah, may Allah grant us ease. I've actually even seen people kiss their phones. So my brothers and sisters, preparing for Ramadan is such that from now we seek the forgiveness of Allah. If you leave tonight having said, oh Allah, help me through my struggles, help me become a better person. Oh Allah, I promise that I'm going to try my best to be a person who pleases you more. If you can come with that much of a promise, you've achieved more than anything you can imagine. You move one inch to Allah. You know why? The hadith tells us whoever comes to Allah, a foot, Allah comes to them much more than that. Whoever comes to Allah, a handspan, Allah comes to them a foot. Meaning Allah's always quicker in response to you than your own initial call. Does Allah need you? No, we need Allah. My brothers and sisters, happiness, goodness, contentment, true contentment will only come about when you discipline yourselves. Ask those whom, when they have a problem, they turn to intoxicants. Ask them if a single one of them has had their problems resolved because of them turning to intoxicants. Not even one. I challenge you. I see someone nodding his head. I hope it means, yes, you're right. What else did they turn to? When you've got an issue and a problem, didn't I tell you moments ago, we all have it. That's what this world is all about. I have, you have, different levels, different values. Sometimes you see a person smiling, happy, content, and you think Allah has not even tested them. Look at me, I'm tested with everything on earth. But you don't realize if you had to spend a moment with them to hear what they're going through, your problem would be dwarfed by what they're going through. You would be embarrassed to even think you have a problem. But your little issue has actually totally destroyed you. Completely gone. I don't even want to pray anymore because you know what? Allah's not favored me, but Allah has favored you. Moments ago, I met a family who lost a child. May Allah Almighty grant them sabr jameel. Grant the child a rank in Jannah waiting for the parents and the family members. And may Allah Almighty make it easy for all of them. And I tell you what I said to them. When Allah has chosen you to engage in patience and sabr beyond a certain point, it's because He's preparing for you an abode in paradise. That's what it is. The condition is you need to take that patience, bear it. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Allah says, we recompense those who bear patience unlimited, in an unlimited fashion. Subhanallah. That's Allah. So if Allah is telling you He recompenses in an unlimited fashion, that's one verse. There are so many other verses that tell you the same. What does it mean? It means when Allah has chosen you, when Allah has chosen you, He allows you to engage in an act of worship known as sabr, to bear patience. So when you bear that patience, you know what? Your status is elevated. Hence, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ إِذَا أَحَبَّ عَبْدًا ابْتَلَاهُ. When Allah loves you, a sign of His love for you is He tests you. So you become closer and closer. I give the example of Jesus, may peace be upon Him. Take a look at His life. Read about it. Look at the struggles He faced from the beginning. Look at what He went through, the challenges. Take a look at the Prophet Moses, may peace be upon him. What happened to him from the beginning? Before he was born, there was already anxiety about what's going to happen when he is born. Why? Because of the Pharaoh. But those were the chosen ones of Allah. Those were the chosen, the best of the lot. Look at Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The struggles that he went through, yet he is, as we know, afdalul khalqi wa akramur rusuli, the most noble, the most honorable, the highest. But look at what Allah did. Those are the messengers that were chosen by Allah. They went through struggles. Do you not think if you go through struggles, it's a bit of what Allah chose for them, that He's giving you the opportunity to go through. So don't become despondent. Their challenges made them stronger in faith. Your challenges are making you weaker in faith. That's the problem. The day your challenges can strengthen you in faith, you have really gained. And it's not like there is going to be a day when you're going to have no challenge. It's just the magnitude of it changes and differs. I always tell people, when you're young, you go to school, you have an examination. It's a very easy test, but for you, it's hard. You ask a child, what's 2 plus 1? And they start doing this. When they do this, you know they're getting it wrong, and then they do that. And then by the time they do this, now you know, oh, wow, they're getting it. And then they tell you, 5. What just happened? It's as simple as anything. 2 and 1 is 3, please. You got it right here, but you didn't know the figure. Okay? So now what happens is, for you, it's relative because you're older. That's a minor thing. I've been through it. I've learned it. But for them, it's a challenge. It's a massive challenge, my brothers and sisters. They go through it. They think about it and so on. If they were to give up school just because they didn't know all of that, what would happen? We encourage them. They go through more and more as the days pass. And then you get to a point like me, I no longer remember what I learned in algebra. Why? I learned it just for free. That's what it was. Wasted my brain space, didn't I? No, I didn't. It actually probably expanded my brain to a degree. Mashallah. But what was algebra for, guys, anyway? When they told us X plus Y equals Z, what was that all about? Do you know? Yeah, some of the guys here do know. So it depends what you've specialized in, right? It depends what you've done later on in life. It makes some of what you've learned redundant. It's okay, I don't need to know it anymore. But, all of those struggles were such that as you passed one, you went to another level which was more difficult or less difficult? More difficult. You went to another level which was more difficult. You enjoyed it. You worked harder. You studied later at night. And you studied harder, and you passed, and you went to another level, and you got a more difficult exam, a bigger textbook, agreed. And you started studying. When I looked at the chemistry of O level, and I'm looking at this book this size, I said, this looks like a Bible, man, subhanallah. They said, yes, it's a chemistry Bible. You got to know everything here. And it was such a big book, but we studied it, subhanallah, and we passed. Got an A, by the way. Ask me about it now. I probably don't know anything. In the same way, when Allah has tested you with minor things, initially they seem major. With each problem, He makes you stronger. So don't give up. With each issue, He's preparing you for something else that's about to come. So don't think it's going to be the end of all. People say, when is this going to end? It's going to end when you meet with Allah with a smile and say, oh Allah, all these curveballs, mashallah, subhanallah, everything that's come in my direction, it was so difficult. It was almost impossible. It almost broke me. But with your help, I'm here today. Mashallah, saying alhamdulillah. We all are. There are things that have happened in all our lives that almost broke every single one of us. And nowadays, the younger ones are going through challenges that are unbelievable. And they tell you, I'm suicidal. How old are you, son? 9 years old. So you haven't even seen the world, you're suicidal. Imagine if you see a fraction of it, subhanallah. May Allah Almighty help our children. Wallahi, we're living in an age that's very challenging. So much is happening. They're exposed to so many things. So when you have a month of Ramadan ahead of you, you prepare for it by connecting with your family as well. You prepare for it by praying together. Well before Ramadan, because that's how you're going to be living together. That's how you're going to be helping each other grow together. You prepare for Ramadan by constantly promising Allah. Make promises. And if you've broken a promise, feel guilty. But remember, Allah is forgiving. Feel guilty about it. Look, I made a promise, but unfortunately, I didn't manage it. Astaghfirullah. May Allah forgive me, but I'm promising again here and now. That's how it should work. You make another promise, and the day comes when you start moving closer to Allah. Wallahi, the sweetness that you shall taste when you've left sin for the sake of Allah. And when you've adopted what you are supposed to be adopting for the pleasure of Allah, that sweetness is unmatched. I'd rather surrender to the hukum and the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He's asked me to pray, when He's asked me to worship Him alone, when He's asked me to dress in a specific way, when He's asked me to speak in a specific way and whatever else. I'd rather surrender to that and enjoy the purity of my life than to dab myself in everything that is displeasing to Him and lose myself. So this is why we say we face reality out there, many challenges, starting with people who will distract you from your faith. And sometimes good people can come to you. I always say, you know, when you have, this is my experience over the years, and I've been around for many years. When you have people who come up to you and only speak bad about others, you know, it says more about them than it does about the people they're speaking about. I mean, subhanallah, say something constructive, benefit the people, help them in one way or another, empower them, say good things, and let them learn, help them leave their bad habits instead of talking about others. There was a scholar recently who said, if someone has counted your faults, thank Allah, it means you're a brilliant person because your faults are only counted. That's it. This guy's like this, like this, like this, and like this. What else? Well, that's about it. Four things. Thank you. Subhanallah, have you thought of it that way? When people start saying you are like this and you are like that and you are like that, say what else? They say, think hard. Anything else? You are like that? Anything else? I think maybe you're like that. Are you sure there's nothing else? No, nothing else. Then I'm a brilliant person. There's 500 nice things, and there's five things you counted that are maybe negative. If we really said that was right, how can we cancel someone completely and totally simply because there's one or two things we may have disagreed with them? In our families, one of the greatest acts of worship is to resolve family matters and problems. We are quick to cut our brothers, our sisters, our children, sometimes our in-laws and outlaws. We quick to cut them. Chopped. They were in-laws, now they're outlaws. You notice? And we cut them up. I don't want to talk to you. Why? Because over one small thing, little misunderstanding. Don't allow shaitan to do that to you. And that's why when people come gossiping, just stop them there and then. It's okay. I don't need to know. It's fine. This world is very temporary. Have a clean heart. Have a good heart. And you know what? Yes, we don't want to be bitten by others, but a few words here and there. It happens to everyone. Learn to solve problems. Talk to people. Discuss. It's not easy to sit and to discuss. People might shout. Today someone called me and said, would you be able to speak to so-and-so because we have an issue and I think you can resolve it. I said, you know what? I'll try. They said, they might swear you. I said, I don't mind being sworn at. You know why? What Allah has given me is not going to be reduced because of your swear word. And what Allah has taken away from me is not going to be given because of your praise. It's not. You see? It's okay. You can say what you want. If I'm going to try, I'm going to try. I invite you, my brothers, my sisters, to resolve your family matters, be it with your spouse. Take off the gloves, speak the truth. Say your heart, your mind, let it be. Say it again, speak again, solve your problems. Because it's a great act of worship. Allah mentions it in the Quran, that a reward you get that is great, one of the things is to resolve matters between disputes between people, especially family. So my brothers and sisters, I ask Allah to open our doors. I ask Allah to grant us goodness. I pray that this Ramadan that is about to come, we prepare for it from now. When we say so many days remaining, it is only to remind us, you know what? Prepare. You need to amass goodness so that when you get to Ramadan, you have a softened heart. And inshallah, you can plan your Umrah trip. It's going to be perhaps Easter. When Ramadan comes in, you're going to have holidays. Plan from now. You can book from now if you want, inshallah, by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when I say Easter, I'm not trying to tell you that you're going to be celebrating the Easter. Please, please. I'm only saying it's going to be a holiday in most parts of the world. That's all I'm saying. You know, the last time when I said, hey, we're going to be having light upon light during Christmas, they went crazy. They went mad. They almost thought that I had a white beard with a red hat. Come on, guys. Luckily, mine is black. So my brothers and sisters, prepare in a beautiful way. And Allah Almighty will grant us elevation. Allah Almighty will open our doors. I really am so thankful that Allah gave us the opportunity to meet this evening. And I ask Allah to accept from us this in a way that we can change our lives even 1 millimeter tonight. May Allah forgive us. May Allah strengthen all of us. Say Ameen. May Allah help us quit the sins that we are trying hard to quit. And inshallah, we will quit them. May Allah Almighty strengthen us so that we can do good deeds right until the day we meet with Allah. أقول قولي هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.
Okay, so I asked for the three Huffaz if they were here. I know one of them is at least here, Laiba. The other two can come forward. Just to let you know, also downstairs where the stalls are, Mufti Menk will be there, inshallah, with his books available. What's left of them, they're going very quickly, and you'll have an opportunity to meet our dear Mufti as well. But before then, can I ask that the three Huffaz come up? You can see them coming on stage. And if I can ask everyone else just for a moment, these young children struggled. They pushed themselves to learn the word of Allah Azza wa Jal. Just take a moment whilst we honor them slightly on stage. If you just take a seat, take one minute of your time, brothers and sisters. Okay? Jazakumullah. Let me go get them.
MashaAllah. What's your name?
Laiba.
Laiba, MashaAllah. What's your name? That's amazing. How much of the Quran have you memorized? The whole thing?
No, not yet.
Amazing. May Allah bless you, strengthen you, give you barakah. InshaAllah, I pray that you can go all the way to the end, inshaAllah. Amazing. You're proud of you. MashaAllah. Barakallah. Let's wait for the other guy. Where is he? Is he there? Yalla Sheikh. Ah, mashallah, assalamu alaikum.
MashaAllah, it's just, Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me? It's an appreciation for the effort put by our children. We are proud of what they're doing, and we're making dua that Allah strengthen them so that they can continue, complete the hifz, inshallah. How much have you memorized?
25.
25, you've memorized them. May Allah bless you, MashaAllah. MashaAllah, how much have you memorized?
Half of days.
MashaAllah, that's amazing. How much have you done?
The full thing.
MashaAllah, the full thing. SubhanAllah. Wow. Say MashaAllah. MashaAllah, MashaAllah. So just to acknowledge that, I'd like to give them a book which has a bit of motivation in it, inshallah, only so that we can encourage them, inshallah, to go further and beyond. That's for you, MashaAllah. Barakallah feekum. And that's yours. Alhamdulillah. MashaAllah. Tabarakallah. And that is yours. MashaAllah. Barakallah feekum. Alhamdulillah. And the next time we come, inshallah, we have many more who have started the hifz, and inshallah, possibly they may have completed it, inshallah. We pray for them and we're very proud of them. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakumullah khair, everyone. We pray, inshallah, that everyone gets home safely. Remember the organizers in your dua. Thank you very much for the facilities management, the security guards, everyone who's helped us, the technicians. Don't forget, if you go downstairs into where the stalls are, Mufti Menk will be there. If you have his book already, he's happy to sign it for you as well, inshallah. From myself, the lesser known Umar Suleiman, brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.